Wake up! Wake up, wake up, wake up! Up you wake, up you wake, up you wake, up you wake! This is
TC and Jake,
your voice of choice, the world's only 12-hour strong man on the air, here on We Love Radio 108 FM, the last on your dial, but first in your hearts, and that's the truth, root. Here I am, am I here? You know it, you know. This is
TC and Jake,
doing the nasty to your ears to the nasty. Eyes only play the platters that matter, the matters they platter, and that's the truth.
From the heart of Bed-Stuy, you're listening to
TC and Jake.
Doing the yin and the yang, the hip and the hop, the stupid fresh thing, the flippity flop.
Hello, folks. It's a delight to be talking to you this week. We've got much to discuss. I got a lot to talk about with you, Jake.
Okay, let's go. The Schwab?
The Schwab's dead.
Oh, my God.
Is he a formative figure for you?
I don't know that Schwab. I would say he was a formative figure, but definitely there were like two things I watched growing up. Well, three. It was just Comedy Central, daytime ESPN programming, and Baw with the Baw and TRL. So, yeah. I mean, he didn't exactly look like a guy who was going to live to 100.
I don't know what that means.
He's fat.
Feels disrespectful on the day of his death.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's just Dick Vitale's lapping you, okay, that can't feel good. I figured he was dead for about 10 years now.
The Madden treatment?
What do you mean?
When both of us realized that John Madden was still alive.
Oh, yeah.
No longer alive now. Yes. But at the time, both of us quite shocked that he was still inhaling oxygen.
Yes.
The Schwab, though. R.I.P.
He's not.
I guess.
He's not inhaling oxygen anymore, the Schwab.
Nope. He's been stumped.
So, I had the exciting conclusion to a long-running saga in my life. I guess this was 2 days ago. Yeah, it was Thursday. I was on the shitter, and I said, you know what? Let's just end this right here. It was more than a month ago at this point. I was doing my job, ferrying people around, assisting transportation, the cog that's making the machine go.
Right, a vital piece of society.
Yeah. The American economy built on me.
Sure.
And I'd given three rides by this point in the day that I'm about to describe. The first one was a gentleman probably about my age going from near my house, of course, since that's where I'm starting out, to some kind of possibly a used car lot in Oak Cliff. It was somewhere in Oak Cliff with a lot of cars. Might have been an auto body. Hard to say. Seemed like a straightforward business type, you know, not one to fuck around. The second ride was a mother and her daughter going to the zoo. And it's important to note, they gave a good tip.
Okay.
And the third ride was a woman who lived near the zoo who went from her house to someone else's house and then back to her house. So not a very long ride, had a stop.
Okay.
And then the next thing I know, when I'm trying to take rides, there's a screen on my app anytime I go there that says, your account's on hold because you've been suspected of driving under the influence.
Okay.
And I think, I do drugs, and so, but that usually means drinking, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, with like, what, 30 out of 50 states legalizing? I don't really know. I've always had questions about how exactly they would test you for that the other way, you know?
Yeah, they can't really. It's.
I'm sure they do, but I don't know how they do it.
I mean, I think you might potentially be placing too much faith in the, like, whenever in 2012, whenever like Colorado and Washington first legalized, this was a thing where it was one of the obvious problems, but like, you know, I figured that,
there you go,
science would figure it out. Sorry. I think our connection broke up a little bit there.
Yeah, you're back now. Yeah, I thought there would be like a swab or something like that. Not a stump to swab, but yeah.
But I, as far as I know, there isn't. I and like the problem with it is that it's just very hard to test how much THC is like affecting a person right then. Like there could be a lot in my system, but it doesn't really bother me.
Yeah, and I think you and I are the perfect example of this.
Yeah.
Like I can have very little and be like, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
And you can have a lot and be like, I'm going to go to work.
Yeah.
So, to be clear, I mean,
this particular job, I've never done high. And eventually in the process, I was told they said they smelled alcohol in your car.
What?
That's what the person reported. That's how I got the account hold. Was that they told
Lyft hilarious
that they smelled alcohol in my car. And I, you know, I lay out the drives just to say, I'm pretty sure it was the third lady. Like, you
she
know,
left that, something in there or her breath or what?
Sorry. We interrupted again. I can edit this out. What were you saying?
Did she just leave something in there? Was it her breath or what?
No, not that I smelled alcohol on her or whatever. Like she said that whenever she was in my car that I was drinking.
Okay, yeah. But I guess I was just saying like if another person communicated that, was it because another rider had booze in the car? So what is she calling her own foul? I don't understand.
No, she's lying. She's making up the whole
just
thing.
Just complete lie. Okay.
If you do, you get the ride comped. If you like, okay. if Lyft finds that you were driven around by a drunk driver, they'll give you the money back on the ride. That's the whole thing. It was a $12 ride, and $12 meant enough to her that she's like, yeah, I'll just fuck up a month of this guy's life. Shouldn't be that big of a problem.
That sucks, man.
I know. So
I've never even thought of like, you know, that being an option. I mean, I suppose I've never really lean that hard into grifting. I guess I haven't like, you know, investigated all the avenues for trying to rip people off, but
yeah, how to get $12.
Yeah.
And so whenever I see the screen, the first thing it says is a detailed email will be sent to you soon. So like you're gonna learn a lot more about this process.
In the coming days and weeks.
Yeah. I mean, soon to me implied like I was checking every 5 minutes from then on, you know?
It's your job.
Yeah. And, you know, I drive Lyft and Uber. So I just turned on the Uber app and gave Uber rides instead. I don't want to like overrepresent the impact that this had on my life, but it was not good. I did not like it. So the email, it says email will be coming soon. Email never came. Never got an email. That email's not coming. Never going to see an email about whatever the fuck happened. And then a little FAQ, including, you know, like a specific warning against contacting them further. They were like, because there used to be, and I thought there still was, but in the course of this, I found out that it's no longer the case. It used to be there was a physical location in DFW you could go and talk to a Lyft employee.
Like bad idea.
I mean, I kind of always been comforted by the hypothetical presence of it because anytime you have a problem with one of these tech things, it's just so hard to like sit across from a human, you know?
For sure.
So knowing there's an address I could go to and if I wait long enough, there's someone I can you know ask questions to was nice. Until I learned that no longer exists. But so they're still on there saying like, don't go to the hub, don't call us, don't contact us in any way. There's a person that's been assigned to your case. They're going to work through their investigation and then they're going to contact you. And if you contact someone else, it could fuck up the whole process. It could take you longer. Like they're threatening, you know, like, This is gonna go worse for you if you try and say anything to us. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll see what happens. until, you know, 2 days ago, after a month, I was sitting on the shitter and was like, you know what? I'm just going to fucking ask him what's up.
Okay, I was wondering how we got back to the shitter.
And so I opened the chat portion of the app and, you know, talked to the AI for a while. And it tells me it wants, or it gives me a point where I can ask for a real person. I do that, kind of explain to them what's going on. I get pinged around, you know, four or five different, they never introduce themselves. You know, it's not like, hi, I'm Kara, and, you know, whatever. But I can tell that, it's different people. You know what I mean?
Of course.
One of the reasons that it's easy to tell that there's different people is the typos go in and out, you know?
Yeah.
When I'm talking to the AI, it's at least getting the punctuation correct. And whatever it's first, the person, it's, hi, Thomas, space, comma, space. Thanks for contacting Lyft support. I hope you're doing well today. How, capital C, can I, then lowercase, help you? what the fuck? All of this is, it's just so dystopian. I'm like, this is the person who controls whether or not I can work anymore. And they're a nameless face at the end of a line that, can't bother to fucking put together regular fucking sentences.
It's really funny if you have a friend, which we have one. It's been a while since we've regularly corresponded with him, but he types he types like a robot.
Pretty tight.
He puts spaces after before and after periods.
Mm. It's eccentric.
If he does an ellipses, space, period, space, period, space, period.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, are you so programmed by corporate America that you just type like a robot that they could actually program themselves? I had a decent experience the other day with one of these for pausing our internet service.
Oh, that's nice.
And I got to be honest, it's like the first positive interaction I've ever had with one.
Yeah.
But it worked.
Yeah, you know, hypothetically.
I mean, let's not Winston Wolf. I think it worked. Yeah.
Yeah. So I eventually talked to a person who they open with are you safe? And I'm like, I guess I get that, but read everything I've written so far. I'm not in a fucking car chase. I'm sitting on the shitter trying to get my fucking account that you guys suspended a month ago back online.
Yeah. What would happen if you said no?
Then they tell me to call 911.
Yeah.
Big thanks. I can figure that out on my own. But the lady says, I'm glad to know that you were safe. I'll be more than happy to assist you today. And then go back and forth a little bit. I'm pleased to inform you that I've investigated why your account was deactivated. I have an answer and solution for you.
Okay.
And then
positive.
Yeah. And then lets me know that she's just putting the account back on. That's it. I just tell them my account's been on hold. The most I do is type to them, I wasn't drunk, I wasn't doing anything.
But and I mean, you easily could have been.
Yeah, and that's I'm happy the account's back, but I'm very disturbed that no effort was taken whatsoever to determine whether or not this person was saying something that was true. And I don't know, on both ends of if they were in danger, the Lyft should try to watch out for them a little bit more. And then further past that, if they prove that this person was lying about it, then I don't know. I always
ban them.
Yeah. That's where I'm going. And I don't know, definitely someone living somewhere near to the margins of society, certainly nearer than me, I saw their house. I know what the deal is. Henry, not right now. He's trying to get out.
I appreciate your restraint.
And, listen, they were willing to lie to get $12. So I'm sure it would probably fuck up their life pretty bad if they couldn't get access to Lyft rides. It's not like they have a car. But I don't know, man. You can't really have people acting like this out in public. It's going to be bad for people. If she's doing this regularly, if everyone who gives her a ride is getting this kind of fucking bullshit in their life, then yeah, dude. I mean, she just should have made different choices and should not be on the app. But I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. And it's probably, again, to reference Dan, like, it's probably worked many times.
Yeah, it must have.
Like, if you, I mean, I didn't even know that play was in the file.
Yeah.
So if you know it's there, then you've probably done it before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, then I like, it's one of those, like, so one ongoing part of this is that whenever she put the account back on, she was like, if you do this, if someone else reports you, then that's like, this is your one. Hey, chill. This is your one strike, you know, like if someone else says that they thought you were drunk, then you're off the platform. And yeah. I'm like, not cool with that. That's not okay. She lied. I didn't do anything except for provide a service to someone who later lied. You know, like nothing I did wrong. So like now my account being one step closer to deactivation, it's pretty fucked up. But also like, I'm surprised that I figure the way that the legal system works, as far as I know, is that if I then do get into an accident where I was found to be drunk, and you know, someone, God forbid, dies in that accident and their family,
a little bit of a, yeah, you got some paperwork on it.
Yeah. Like that, you know, as part of discovery, they're going to see that I was once accused of having this happen. And yep. I have to assume at that point that it's many millions of dollars that the Lyft Corporation owes to that family. And so, like, I'm shocked that, you know, the fucking person at the other end of the chatbot was just like, yeah, I don't know. Go drive again. It's fine.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Did you go see Civil War?
I did go see Civil War.
Fuck, it sucked.
You know, the fact that you told me it was about photojournalists beforehand was a big help. It adjusted my expectations greatly. And based on those expectations, I liked it fine.
Okay. Well, I thought it was going to be about a civil war.
So yeah, no, if I thought it was going to be a cool movie about a civil war.
Fool me once.
Yeah.
God, I was so mad, man.
You don't like photojournalists?
I don't know. It was just one of those things where, like, I don't treat myself very often. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited.
You were so excited.
I got popcorn. I got a Dr. Pepper. I ate some gummies. I was legitimately like, this is going to be the best night of my life.
The Jesse Plemons, pretty much Jesse Plemons and everything on is good. It's definitely good. Even by your standards, it's good.
I would say that's true.
That's pretty late in the movie.
Yeah, and a buddy of ours who's been an IJB guy for a long time, Byron, told me that he read that, like, another actor bailed.
What do you mean?
Well, like, for Jesse Plemons' role.
Oh, really? And just like they said, hey, Kirsten, can your husband do it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, it is insane.
Because
it's
this
like
guy
that
is,
late.
Like, pretty famous now. And yeah. He's an hour and 30 minutes into the movie for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay,
great.
He was so great. Good. I know what Reuters is.
Yeah.
That's an all-time great line.
Yeah. No, every time it's something like I always think of, I don't know if you ever saw Cloverfield. I'm going to bet against.
You know what? I think I have, actually.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
That's always this
dystopian type apocalyptic movie, right?
Yeah, like a monster shows up in New York and we're running from the monster.
I've seen that.
That was kind of the first time that I started thinking about, like, because I saw that, you know, I was pretty young. I was in college. Of, like, just what end of the telescope you're looking through and knowing that, like, that's not the end that I like. I don't like, you know, the small story of a small band of people trying to get across. Like, I want it to be about the president. Like, if Nick Offerman were the main character in the movie and, like, you kind of get a I want to know about, like, the tactical moves of, like, what the various armies are doing. I want to have a better understanding of, like, what grievances these armies have. And, like, that's just not what the movie's about at all.
Yeah, and I think I'm being a little bit hypocritical because, you know, we've been doing this podcast for 10 years, and you know that I really love that the Hurt Locker like presents the war in that way.
Yeah.
So I do think it's possible. Like, we used to call it like the coffee straw. Like the professors I had were like, all right, if you're embedded, you know, you're looking at this through the lens of a coffee straw.
Yeah.
You cannot explain exactly what is happening, why it's happening, but you can just explain like what these people's days and lives are like. But I don't even feel like it did a good job of that. I don't know. It to me was just very self-important, and there were a couple like really badass scenes. I thought the scenes with the snipers where they're like, which side are you on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, well, they're trying to kill us. We're going to try to kill them.
Yeah.
Because that's ultimately like what every war.
You like ask him more questions. The guy's like, oh, I get it. You're a dummy.
Yeah. Like that's ultimately what everybody ends up doing in war is like, I forgot why we're here, but they're trying to kill us and we're trying to kill them.
Yeah.
And I have my eye through this 308. Yeah. So
that's kind of the big thing of the movie is like the two sort of larger points are one, war is bad. And then two, I liked the stuff of just, you know, ultimately the movie is about kind of the circle of life, you know, of like Kirsten Dunst, you know, ultimately makes a choice to like further the idea of people like her over her specifically, you know, like she.
Yeah.
She's one in the fraternity of photojournalists, and the good name of photojournalism continuing on is more important than what happens to her specifically.
Yeah, and I used to so from that standpoint, it was a little bit interesting to me because, and again, we've been doing this a long time, so I know we've had this conversation, but I used to get in like pitched battles in grad school over like the idea that you are not involved.
Yeah. Yeah, like
I would get so fucking pissed off. I'm like, dude,
of course.
I mean, come on. Like at the end of the day, like you're a human being. These are human beings. They're like, that's not your job. And I'm like, okay, well, your job is just a job.
Yeah, your job is to be a psychopath is what you're telling me. And I'm not. So I don't think it's for me.
And in multiple cases in this movie, she like commits to that bit.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, your professor. She's like, yeah, you have exactly. to be a psychopath. It's good that we're psychopaths. Someone's got to do this job, you know? Like it'd be worse if we just didn't have it. Yeah.
It probably first came into focus, like, no pun intended, like in Vietnam.
Sure.
Right? Like when people would just sit a play out where they like knew that there was a booby trap.
The, yeah, that's fucked up.
But I mean, that happened, dude. Sure. Like a lot.
I always think about the book that you recommended to me, Gang Leader for a Day, that one of the big, like, it's about a guy who he's a student studying sociology, something like that. I don't know. You know, people.
Yeah, I believe so. At, University of Chicago.
Yeah. And the University of Chicago at that time was located very close to the largest housing project in America. It's since been torn down.
Robert Taylor.
Yeah. I've got I guess you can't see because there's a beautiful woodland scene behind me in your version, but there's a large picture of the Robert Taylor homes back on the wall there because it was across the highway from the old Comiskey Stadium.
Yes, Southside, baby.
And he, you know, gets embedded. Like, he just goes down to a park one day and is like, can you talk? Like, point me towards the guys who do all the crime around here. And then he's like, I just want to know how all this works. I just want to study you. And they're like, yeah, all right. it'd be good to get some attention. I like attention.
I feel like it's important to note, like, he's Indian.
Yeah,
did you say that already?
No, yeah, no.
Like, so I don't know that a Caucasian could have pulled this off.
Yeah, I mean, you know, any kind of person Maybe. Who's, like, obviously a nerd, it helps, right?
Yes. Yes, I feel like you benefit from this tremendously.
Yeah, at times. And so he's...
Whereas, like, people look at me and they're like, I don't like whatever that guy has on his face. We've seen this in locker rooms many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's, like, hanging out there every day and gets to know all these people really well. And there's a girl that he gets to know well, you know, just in, as part of the, you know, great tapestry of people that he's encountering. And someone does something to her. I don't remember the details. And they,
it was like, she was a hooker.
Yeah. And I think like a guy, the guy hit her.
Yeah, roughed her up. Yeah.
And then the dude who he's following around, who is he her pimp, or he just knows her pimp or something?
I think he was just kind of running one of the towers, and they just go kick the shit out of the guy. And the ethnographer like jumps in.
Well, I think that they're pressuring him too. You know, the guy's already on the ground. They're like, you fucking know the girl. You're not upset by this. He beat her up. He's laying on the ground in front of you. Fucking kick him, dude. And he's like, doesn't really think about it. You know, he's like, yeah, I'd like to kick him. He's fucking a piece of shit. And that's the point at which his professors are like, this is
we're not running this.
This is not what we do. You're doing another thing now. No one, you're not studying people. You're fucking kicking lowlives, you know?
You're essentially a gang member.
But I don't know, dude. If there's a girl I know and someone's fucking beating her up and I have the chance to kick the guy, I'm fucking kicking him. Like, there's something broken about you as a human if you're not, I think, right? I think that's what you're saying.
I think so, but I mean, you know, in some way, I don't think it's that different from like lawyers, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to sort of recuse yourself into like a philosophical, like neutral.
Yeah.
And I mean, dude, you don't think that fucking most lawyers, criminal defense attorneys know that their client is guilty? I mean,
you know,
if they didn't,
I don't know.
If they were not able to operate that way, nobody would ever have a defense team.
Yeah. And
so you have to just like, I suppose, operate in that way. And I don't know, though. I feel like with journalists, it's very bothersome to me. But it's also like there's a line. Like, I do think there's some things where you can just observe and take stock of it and just be there. But also, like, if somebody's going to get hurt, I feel like you have to do something.
I had professors
who were, like, in Haiti.
Yeah.
That's and they were just – they were witnessing, like, you know, tens of thousands of deaths per month.
Yeah.
And some of them were preventable. Like, they knew where the water was.
Yeah.
They just didn't do anything about it. They knew it was on a runway, but they were like, that's not my job. And I'm like, man, I don't know.
There are aid workers there.
Yeah, of course.
That's what they do. I'm doing another thing.
I'm taking pictures.
Yeah, I see why all of it's a debate. I don't know. I feel fairly certain about what side I'm on, but I don't mean for that to communicate that I think that it's an easy question. I fully respect the arguments. Like, yeah, certainly of like defense lawyers and, you know, the Kirsten Dunst isn't like entirely wrong, you know, like she is trying to perform like it's a big machine and she's got her role and like her role is not the aid giver, but like her role is hypothetically supposed to have an impact. And it's part of the movie is her wrestling with she thought that, you know, like before this civil war broke out in America, she was at other wars around the world trying to depict to Americans how bad war is so that they wouldn't do it. And then they ultimately do decide to do it anyways. And she's like, well, then I guess my entire fucking life has been a waste. And, you know, I don't know. No one's life is a waste. That's what I want to say to every character in the movie who's like, my life is a waste.
Also, Nick Offerman is in it for about 12 minutes.
I was surprised. Whenever they're like, because this is in the first 5 minutes, this isn't like a big spoiler, that the opening of the movie is like, you know, we're going to go and interview the president. And I was like, I thought immediately, like, it's Nick Offerman. They wouldn't have cast him unless they do end up having a long conversation with the president.
Nothing.
You know, it's not, there's a little. They ask
nothing.
Him, they talk to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just finished rewatching Inherent Vice, if you have any questions about that.
No, I know you told me to watch it, but
it's fucking great. It's one of the great all-time movies.
Well, I've seen my one for this quarter, so.
Yeah, I mean, well, you're going to see Pineapple Express today.
That is true.
You know how much fun you had. You're going to need that hit again. For example, when Bad Boys 3 comes out.
Oh, my God, dude. By the way, Martin Lawrence put on weight, and I love it because so have I. And if he can still get employed, we're looking good.
I think he's looking good. I think he's doing fine. I can't wait. That it looks awesome. Premise is
it
awesome.
It does look awesome.
Movie fucking rules. This is great. Can't wait for Bad Boys 3.
Yeah.
So I got a thing here that I think this is a you may at points feel like it's an attack, but it's a compliment. I'm here to big ups you. So how many Zach Bryan concerts have you been to?
I guess just two.
No, not two.
Three. Two.
I feel like it's, I mean, I guess both of them were festivals.
Yeah. I mean, that first one was right when the crest was like occurring.
Of COVID? So,
no, like of his like just meteoric rise.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So that one was at a park in Georgetown.
And then the one at Texas Motor Speedway and that's it?
Which was a disaster. I mean, you could call it a festival, but it sucked.
I guess I'm just living in a fantasy land. I feel like you've been following him around on tour, but I can't recall like any other specific ones.
So no, I'm positive that was the only two.
Right. I would like to know how many other concerts you've been to in that time. I feel like he might be the only artist you've seen, and you have seen him twice.
So I went to Jeezy.
That was
around that same time.
That is true.
I've seen Oatmeal Pizza once.
There you go. That was another barometer I wanted to go by. The band you can see for free that your friend plays in that plays every weekend. Have you seen them more or less than Zach Bryan?
It would appear to be less, but only by 50%.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else, man. I feel like I don't know. You know, we talked about this at one point. Like, I'm not like that into concerts anymore.
Yeah.
And I know that's like just absolutely heretical to you.
No, I mean, I like concerts a lot, but
it's my knees, my back. I'm tired.
I've started to find that anytime, like I used to be pretty happy to go to a concert by myself. And now certainly any time that I have one that I buy a ticket to that I'm going by myself, the entire month beforehand, I'm like, maybe I should just not go. It's not worth it.
Of course.
And if there's other people involved, then like I'm just excited to see the other people and I'm not, you know, I'm definitely not going to like back out of an obligation that I agreed to. My word is bond. If it's just like the only person to be disappointed is me, the me that bought the tickets, whatever, then
no problem.
The whole time I'm debating, like, could just stay home that day. That'd be fun.
Now, I will add that probably in that 3-year period, I've probably been to 15 comedy shows.
That's good. You got that.
I can sit down. I know that I'm going to be consistently entertained. Typically, people aren't assholes.
Yeah.
You know, like you might run into at concerts, but man, I used to, and you know this, I used to go to. Cold shoulder,
closing car. Sorry. That's where we're going.
Okay, go ahead then.
I didn't mean to. I just want to make sure that it was queued up, and I thought that usually presents itself muted.
You know what? Garth Brooks.
We did go to Garth Brooks, no doubt about that.
We did go to Garth Brooks.
My brother plays it, and I just have to admit, I didn't really get it. Zach Bryan as a thing didn't totally land with me until I did have this experience of hearing it in this way, the right way. Begging me to stay till the
sun rose. Did somebody chop and screw this? Come on out
of a gold man's mouth. No, it's Patrick from SpongeBob. Pictures in passing time, you always smile like that when you're drinking. I wish I didn't, but I do. Tell me this doesn't rip. Every moment on the nights with you. The song, of course, a duet, as you know. You're drinking everything to ease your mind. Now we got Sandy hopping in. But when the hallory
comrade ease mine, you're like concrete.
And I'll send you the video. No,
you're good.
It's AI generated, and it looks like Hangout. There's like a Ferris wheel. There's a big crowd that are all like fucking pumped to see Patrick.
I'm fine.
I can tell you don't like it as much as I like it. I've watched this 700 times. I've started listening to the song now. I think I, like I said, I understand how it feels like an attack, and it's hard to escape that. However, I do not mean it as an attack. I'm serious. I'm going to listen to this guy now because I like this so much. Like, I was just, I couldn't get enough of the Patrick one, but all it is this clip. You know, like, they don't have the full thing. So I started listening to the regular non-Patrick version. I was like, all right, yeah, this is good. I don't know. You don't okay, think Patrick well, what, rips?
What? No, I don't. That's a great song. It means a lot
to
me.
It is great.
And the fact that you have marginalized it by I'm not highlighting just the it. Version that is sung by a spare cartoon character.
He's not a spare cartoon character. You need to respect Patrick. That's the disconnect.
I feel like coming into this, you knew this wasn't an affront.
No, so. I knew that it's not an affront and that I needed to take care to make that clear. I knew it might be interpreted as affront, and that would be a wrong interpretation of my intent.
Well, it's a great song.
It is a great song. I agree. I've got my whole family listening to it. They're all on board.
I'm actually kind of glad that he's like fallen back in the last couple months.
Patrick?
No, God damn it. Never mind.
Why do you want him to fall back?
His Twitter's super annoying.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What does he say? Just go Eagle stuff?
Yeah, it's a lot of Eagles, but like he got arrested.
Oh, did he?
I think it was just like a expired. Oh, dude, did I tell you I got pulled over the other day?
I did not know you got pulled over the other day.
Yeah, so we talked about this on the Dumb Zone, but I've fully changed my approach, dude. I'll just tell them whatever they want to hear now.
Now you're, how can I help you, officer?
Sir? And I got to tell you.
Thanks for your service.
I told Dan this the other day. I honestly think it's because they're all younger than me now.
Yeah, that makes like sense.
I dropped Nora off at, we call it gym school, but it's occupational therapy. Mm-hmm. And then I usually go fill up my car with gas, get a water, and get her donuts. It's like across the street. Mm-hmm. And my registration has been out for like 9 months.
Awesome.
But I have it. It's in my car.
What are you like? You just don't put
just
the sticker
fucking
on?
Lazy, dude. Yeah, just straight up lazy.
Okay, so did it work to show him it?
Yeah, like he pulled up. Like I pulled into the 7-Eleven, and he came up, and he's you know probably late 20s, tatted up, Colleyville police officer.
Of course.
And he's like, "Yeah, you know, I pulled you over for your registration, but I can clearly see you have it here."
Yeah.
I was like, "Yeah, dude, I'm sorry." I was like, I tried to peel it off, and then I just kind of forgot about it.
Boy, telling a guy 10 years younger than you that you don't know how to peel a sticker off your car.
Emasculating.
Yeah, it's not the peak of at best. Anything.
Yeah, but then they were back there for like 30 minutes.
That's too long.
Way too long. In fact, I had an entire text message to my wife constructed.
Mm-hmm.
That was just like, I got pulled over. I don't know what's going on. But they're taking a lot of time.
Yeah.
So here's where I am in the event that I get arrested. And I was like about to hit send. And then he came back up and he was like, how about a warning?
I'm like, okay. I'm not turning it down.
It was so weird, man.
I feel like it's a bit
it's
of
been
a punishment.
Long time.
Yeah. No, I can't remember the last time I've been pulled over.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it had been at least 5. Yeah. Yeah. Closer to 10 probably. But the weirdest part about it was there were two of them.
To make sure your registration was okay?
Yeah. So there's like a guy at like the back driver's side tire.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I was like, do you guys really need two of you? Like it's 9:15 in the morning in Grapevine, Colleyville.
Like, yeah. I wonder if they'd like been told about like, you know, there's your make and model of car, like be on the watch out for that, and it just turned out to be someone else or something. Like, because it seems weird to pull over for. I've driven for like a month out of registration and never.
Well, I've driven for 8.
Yeah. I think it's pretty rare. Come up. And I always remember one of the ways in which I've become aware that racism is real is my father-in-law had always would always be like real, like, you got to watch out for that, man. And I was like, no, you do.
Not me.
They don't bother me, man. Which, you know, I don't endorse. I'm just in the system you're in. I didn't make it. I don't like it. But
yeah, it was super.
I do benefit.
Like, I got really nervous.
Yeah. If you're there for that long.
Yeah, I was like shaking.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm just like, what the fuck is going on back there?
And it then, does. Like, everybody. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, no, I was just going to say, like, everybody who pulls up in a 7-Eleven is like, look at this criminal.
Yeah.
This is a weird feeling.
Which prostitution ring is he running?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Strange.
I think it could possibly, you know, I don't know about like dad specifically, but just the male authority figure in your life. Like them being younger than you now it's not like, fuck you, dad. I'm not going to listen to what you say.
There's something to that. Like, I just wanted this guy to have a good morning.
Yeah. Just watch it out for you, squirt.
Yeah. Hey, little champion. Little fella.
Look at you. You're doing so good. You're pulling people over now.
And the fact is, this guy could have ripped my fucking larynx out if he wanted to. Like, he was... I do not in any way mean to say that he was, like, diminutive. Yeah. He was not. He was a big fella.
Yeah, but younger than you. You got better techniques than that, dude.
Probably.
Yeah, you should be able to defend yourself fine.
Probably. The quarterback of the God Squad is really good friends with a cop. And he comes out, like, when he's on patrol, seemingly every week.
Don't love that. I think they're a little fast and loose with what they're doing on the clock. I
would agree.
I may have told you this. I'm pretty sure I didn't. There was a time I was driving. It was a Friday night, giving the Uber rides. And I was called to a restaurant in Uptown. And it was a little unclear if they were in that restaurant or like the place next door or maybe like their apartment was right by there. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the dots kind of hopping around on the map.
Sure.
And so I was just going to wait in the restaurant parking lot. But like where I had pulled up and was just like idling, there was a cop SUV and then next to it, another SUV. So that if you're driving down McKinney, because this, you know, it's like on McKinney, but if you're going on McKinney, unless you're like right even with them, you couldn't see the area between the SUVs. This is like a bit of a privacy zone had been created by the parking of these two vehicles. And in between them, a cop was making out with a girl. Just in uniform, in his vehicle.
I don't like that at all.
And like her friend was like, watch out. Like that she had got, she'd been like, come on, Julie, we got to go down there. I'm going to kiss my boyfriend cop. And you just got to make sure that no one gives us any trouble. And she's like, hell yeah, dude. Just kind of being close to the action. That's the most I can expect for it because I'm the less attractive friend. Let's go.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So I,
another unnamed friend of ours, he had an aunt who got knocked up by a cop.
Not great.
Like in a stop.
To stop. Wow, yeah. Dude. I had no idea the details of this. I have some questions when we're off air.
It was in Arkansas. Yeah.
Damn, dude.
And did, like, I think she had warrants
or something.
Did he
step up for that?
I think they got married.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, did I the think right so. Thing. Yeah, I think that actually did happen. Yeah, I think she had, like, a number of outstanding warrants.
It'd be hard to know whether or not there's a personality fit. If the entire interaction to that point had been traffic stop,
you know, I mean, you say that, but I mean, it's not like the rest of us are all operating with that much more information.
Yeah.
I mean, but you're right,
you do
though.
Get a lot from that initial.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I decided not to continue idling there.
That's a good call.
Yeah. I was just like, oh,
that's a good call. You were seeing something you should not have seen.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what they do on the clock. I've been listening to the Blowback season about Afghanistan, And it's extremely good. I like it a lot. It's
I got it sitting there waiting for me. I want to do it. I'm just
it's always dense.
As evidenced by the fact that I haven't put the registration sticker on. I'm just lazy.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a little like I like it a lot, but
because they go back to like the 70s, right?
Yeah, most of the time, if it's like Korean War or whatever, they'll do one episode on like sort of the setup. And then, you know, the further nine episodes will be about the conflict. I'm in episode like five and we haven't had 9/11 happen yet. Like it's all about like the Soviet conflict in Afghanistan and even like, you know, what the conditions were before that. There, it's just a much longer time period they're covering and it's very fascinating. But so there, so I've now become familiar with some of the key players in Afghanistan history. And we all sort of remember the warlord era. Like you remember hearing a lot about Afghan warlords.
Of course, the poppy fields.
Yeah, and one of the big, so it's just kind of going over, you know, who the warlords are, how they came to be in a position where they could, you know, sort of have some power, and but not enough power to unite the country and whatever. And one of the dudes, his name is Gulbuddin Hekmatyar. And I just find that to be a very evocative. It's just very sing-songy. I like the way it rolls off the tongue, Gulbuddin Hekmatyar.
Okay.
And I'll get hooked on these pretty good a lot of times. And so I've started to call Izzy Gulbuddin Hekmatyar. Like whenever she's doing something.
That's weird.
You know, whenever she's kind of being stubborn, I'll just be like, you're being worse than Gulbuddin Hekmatyar.
Does that land?
At first, she was like, kind of didn't know what to do with it. But, you know, by the 10th time I'd done it, she kind of liked the whole thing. She sort of thinks it's funny. She sees the appeal of the name the same way that I do. And the other day she came up and told me, you know what? Anyone messes with me at school, I'm going to call him Gulbuddin Hekmatyar.
There you go, girl.
And then came up a couple days later and said, I did it three times today. There's three different kids
three
that stepped to whatever they shouldn't have. And I said, you know what? You're Gulbuddin Hekmatyar. And I was like, what do they say? And she's like, nothing.
Yeah.
They were
verklempt.
They were pretty confused. They did not know the history of Afghanistan and its many warlords. So they didn't know whether to be insulted or not. Man, I don't know. Gulbuddin doesn't win in the end. So
I don't think anybody in Afghanistan wins in the end, bud.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, the Taliban, you know, you got to respect.
They got to hand it to them.
Not under any circumstances. Got to hand it to them. But yeah, you kind of got to hand it to them. You know, they triumph over the warlords in the first place. That's how they're, you know, consolidated force leading the country, allowing Osama to do whatever the fuck he wants whenever we roll in. Then we fuck with them for 20 years. And then at the end of that 20 years, like I just assumed whenever we're pulling out and like things are going bad, I'm like, well, surely it's some like new group, you know, like ISIS.
No, it's just the exact same people. It's the exact same structure.
Kept rolling.
Literally nothing changed.
They control the country today, right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Girls can't go to school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. It does. Those boys over there, they do some bad stuff.
Yeah. Wearing like Udonis Haslam jerseys.
Like there was
a shoulder harnessed RPG.
There was a big push by like the intelligence services to try to tell the Russian army to defect to the Taliban or just to the Afghan force. I don't think the Taliban was really popping necessarily during. There's a lot of different
Mujahideen.
Yeah, there's a bunch of groups of the Mujahideen. And yeah. The Taliban like kind of sprang from that, but like towards the end, and then you know in the chaos that ensued after the USSR pulled out. But the whenever they're saying like, hey, you should defect, one guy comes back. He's like, have you seen what they do to Soviet soldiers that defect? Like they're fucking dragging them behind tanks until they're dead. Eventually the guy who the Soviets had installed as the president, whenever his like shit falls, you know, they fucking cut off his testicles and fed it to him, like that kind of shit. Like they're doing the worst things that you can imagine people doing. It's pretty rough. I wouldn't want to live in Afghanistan during any of their wars. I'd rather
that would encompass forever.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been at war a lot.
That is and again, to reference I had a professor who went over there for a while, and he was like, it's Earth's graveyard.
Yeah.
This is where empires go to die.
And I'd always been a little confused why anyone cared, since it's not one of the big oil producing regions.
Stability.
Yeah, I mean, it's just transport wise, it's very crucial.
Yeah.
Like if you have the oil and you'd like to get it somewhere else, it's important that you have Afghanistan right there.
Yeah. That's true too.
Yeah. And the poppy production is no small thing. The various governments of the world that are ostensibly there to stop crime. Actually, in order to stop crime, it's really helpful if we have a large cache of dark money, and we can get that pretty easy if we sell heroin ourselves.
So you have to do some crime?
And then we're going to stop crime. We just got to do a couple crimes right now.
Go watch the Adam Friedland show, General Noodles.
Yeah, that's right. That'll explain.
What about
the
COVID labs? All right, well, good times.
Good times indeed.
That's all I have.
Yeah. All right. See you, man.
All right, bye.
That's it for tonight. The high school special is next, so until tomorrow, for everyone who's been a part of this one, I'm
TC and Jake.
We do thank you for watching. Good night.